Prisoners of Hope. I want to speak today about the hope that can be found during times of uncertainty, when many have lost hope and are grieving that loss. I'm framing this talk today within the time frame of Israel trying to find their way forward and still floundering after being in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. The prophets at that time knew that God was preparing them for a new hope and were encouraging and challenging them to prepare for that time. And Zechariah writes this scripture about the being a prisoner of hope. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11, he says, "Because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set you prisoners free from the dungeon. Return to your stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will doubly restore all to you." And Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Haggai and Zechariah, who just wrote that scripture, and Malachi, all wrote to Israel before there was a 400-year silence, during which time there was no king, no prophetic voice, until the time of John the Baptist and Jesus. Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations about the hopelessness that was felt by Israel in bondage in Babylon during their time of standstill as God's people. They had lost all sense of a future and were grieving their past. They needed to find a hope. And I believe that just as God was speaking to them and Jeremiah understood how they were feeling and conveyed that to them, that God knew how they were feeling in their confusion, I believe that God is speaking to us today. They had lost all sense of the future, and they were grieving their past. They needed to find hope. Many people today need to find hope, and hope is there, a true hope in God. For them, for almost two generations, they'd been oppressed by cruel leaders of other nations. Many had put their hope in other gods of other nations. And many had felt that God had abandoned them. But he hadn't. Jeremiah captures their mood in the following scripture from the book of Lamentations. This is the depth to which they were suffering their sense of abandonment. In Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 11, he says, "He has dragged me into the underbrush and torn me with his claws, leaving me bleeding and desolate. He has bent his bow and aimed it squarely at me, and sent his arrows deep within my heart. He has filled me with bitterness and given me a cup of deepest sorrows to drink. He has made me eat gravel and broken my teeth. He has rolled me in ashes and dirt. O Lord, all peace and all prosperity have long since gone, for you have taken them away. I have forgotten what enjoyment is. All hope is gone. My strength has turned to water, for the Lord has left me. Oh, remember the bitterness and suffering you have dealt to me, for I can never forget these awful years. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." So that prophecy that we started with, Zechariah, about being prisoners of hope, speaks to us today, just as it spoke then to Israel. It is a prophecy of renewed hope. Let me read it to you again. Zechariah 9:11. "Because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set you prisoners free from the dungeon." And that's a dungeon of despair. "Return to your stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Today, I declare that I will doubly restore all to you." So this being set free from a dungeon of disappointment means returning to God's prison of hope. In him, we're trapped in it. There's no escape from this when we know that he has taken us and says, When you look to me, you can truly hope and have a proper expectation of my good being done for you from heaven to earth, and it alights upon you. I'm going to help you to see it and understand it. You see, disappointment has to do with what we expect of life, of ourselves, and of others. Wrong expectations lead to a wrong hope, because we can have expectations in the wrong things. Our only true hope is because of a true expectation of God. Our hope is not based upon what we can do or other people. Our hope is based upon what God does do and is doing. And our faith is the foundation of this hope. I want to talk to you about faith, real faith. It says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now I want to have a look at a couple of those words there. The word substance. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance in the original language in the Greek is hypostasis. Hypo means under. Stasis means standing or setting. So faith is the setting under of things hoped for. In other words, the setting under, which is the foundation, setting a foundation. Faith sets the foundation of things hoped for. It is trusting God. That is our hope. That is the foundation of what is hoped for. It goes on to say it is the evidence of things not seen. I want to look at the word things there. Mostly when you read the word things in the Bible, it is just an add-on word that doesn't have a Greek equivalent. For instance, God will do that good thing. And we in the English put a word thing there, but quite often in the Greek it will just say God will do good. And in English we're kind of compelled to say good what? We say good thing, but it's often not there in the Greek. There is one word that does occur from time to time in the Greek as the word thing, and it is pragma. And it actually is the word deeds. It means God is doing the deeds that we don't see. It means God is doing things, God is doing deeds, his own workmanship in the world of the unseen. And that is what he is doing, that's his activity, and that's what our faith is in. And that is what our hope stands upon. That is the foundation of our hope, that God is doing the good deeds for our good in the unseen world of faith. And we rest in that. That becomes our hope. You see, our hope is not always reliable when it is in something we want to have. Our hope is always reliable when it is in someone who gives us what he wants us to have, doing the good thing, the deed, for us. Faith is not trying to believe as hard as we possibly can that God will give us what we want to see happen. Many people think that that's what faith is. If only I could believe more, because I know God loves me, so I know because I want this, he tells me if I believe it, I'll have it. That can be a wrong expectation, and it can lead to disappointment, and it can lead to giving up on God. Our faith is in what God is doing, the good thing that he wants for us. And it still answers our prayer for the thing we want, but it is what he wants to give us in that situation, which is better than the thing that we could be looking for or the way we want that thing to arrive into our situation. Our faith undergirds our true hope in God that he will do his good thing, deed, that is his will for us. So what do we expect from God concerning his prison of hope? not living in the dungeon of disappointment. Let me read to you some scriptures. Here's another one from Jeremiah. He knew what it meant to tap into God's goodness for us. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of grief, to give you a future and a hope." Now there is a word straight from God. And the prophet Jeremiah knew that people needed to hear this because he knew the suffering that people had been going through and that we're going through. And he knew that God knew and that God wanted to comfort us, to give us a future and a hope. That's God's will. David picks it up in Psalm 139 and says, "How precious it is, Lord, to realize that you are thinking about me constantly." Now, there's another word to look at. That word thinking does not mean just idle thoughts, just remembering us, calling us into remembrance, wondering how things are going. It's not that kind of thinking. It means purposefully thinking. In other words, thinking about what God wants to do. So it's precious to realize that God is thinking about things, deeds that he wants to do for you constantly, that he wants to do in your situation constantly. It goes on to say, David says further in this, "I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn toward me. And when I waken in the morning, you are still thinking of me." So these are the thoughts that are about his deeds that are being done in the world of the unseen, the world of faith, the faith which reinforces our hope and undergirds it, stands underneath it. So remember, it's not the circumstances that defeat us. It is our reaction to them that defeats us. We lose sight of God, which means we lose faith in God. We lose faith that God is at work in that world of the unseen. And our stress or our discomfort in these challenging situations, times of standstill, times of uncertainty, these can awaken us to hear the message of hope and to put our hope in God. So what does our future hope depend upon? Well, our future hope does not depend upon our being in control of our circumstances, because how well we know that we are not in complete control of them. Our future hope does not depend upon what we have failed to do in the past that may dash our hopes for the future, making us feel, "Well, I got it wrong then, I'll get it wrong again." No, the past is gone. It is about now. And our future hope makes us ready for action, ready to respond to that thing that God is doing. Let me read to you from 1 Peter 1, who also knew how to find hope after he had felt hopeless and felt that he'd lost his way, having denied the Lord, thought that he was a goner. When God renewed his hope, God was at work in him. And when Peter writes, you can see that he's a man of experience that knows how to find hope. And he says this in 1 Peter 1:13. "Therefore, preparing your minds to be ready for action," that is, not reaction. The circumstances don't defeat us. It's often our reactions that defeat us. But Peter is saying, preparing your minds to be ready for action, not reaction, "and being sober-minded," in other words, being alert, "set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." What does the revelation of Jesus Christ mean? It means that when God reveals to us that he is doing something and gives us a hint to what it is that he's doing, we start taking on a mindset of action, of moving forward. And we begin to see in the circumstances that he places before us that he's doing something, because we've surrendered the situation into his hands. That means we can have an expectation, a hope, because he's at work. It's been surrendered. We are then empowered to respond to that in a God-given faith. That's what grace is, being empowered to respond, to do something. And Holy Spirit gives that to us. So remember again what Jeremiah said in that last part of Lamentations. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And I want to add to that, it is good to spend time waiting quietly to get this into your spirit. Just stop everything. The soul seeks him. The soul puts aside the worries, the anxieties. It marshals its resources of being able to come into that prison of hope, out of the dungeon of despair. And you sit there saying, there's nothing in here, in this room, in this place in my heart. There's nothing in here. I'm imprisoned here in hope because God is at work. That's quietly waiting for the salvation of the Lord. So our future hope depends on how we're responding to what is right now. It's not yesterday, and it's not really the future. It is now, Lord, you're at work. That's imprisoning yourself in the hope. And you know what happens then? Miracles become familiar occurrences, with the Holy Spirit composing and arranging situations with supernatural creativity beyond our ability to organize them. This is what happens. It's not so much seeking these things, but expecting them. Our hope is imprisoned in God. Nothing can happen but that which he brings forth. But he has to get our antenna up and awareness as we wait quietly for that. And then we can move in it. Then we can respond to it. And what I say to myself in these situations is, about God, I say, he is in this situation. And he is with me in this situation. And he is transforming me in this situation. And he is transforming my future in this situation. I just love those words of Jeremiah, those final words again from Lamentations, when he says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. He goes on to say, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So for us, this is waiting for us to take hold of in every challenge that seeks to rob us of a true hope. I encourage you today, get yourself into this hope because it is the true understanding of your faith. God bless you all. Amen.